that I was asked to give this class on the subject responsibility. So I felt some responsibility and I did the journey and I am now going to share it with you. Now, to my mind, this is very important for various reasons. If we really want to make some progress in our spiritual life and even in any other field, if we really want to attain success or excellence or perfection, whatever, responsibility is essential, sense of responsibility. Because we have been given the understanding that if we want to rise higher in our life, it would be by performing good actions. Actions which are noble, which are associated with divine qualities. And our fall also has been due to our bad actions. So our rise and fall in this drama of life depends upon our actions. And unless and until we have a sense of accountability or responsibility, we cannot rise again. Very often Baba has been saying in Murlis that we very often are lax in our efforts. Albelapan, he says. You are non-serious often. How much you are to do? What is expected of you? What you are supposed to be? You don't apply your mind to it. You don't give your thought to it. You don't perform sincere efforts, he says. So, we can perform our efforts in right earnest, provided we have a feeling of accountability, responsibility. Any job which is assigned to you, any work which you undertake to do, if you don't have a sense of a feeling of responsibility, you cannot perform it well. From the moment you hold yourself responsible for something, you will find that your mind has a state of alert. The whole energy flows to your brain, to your body, because you think you are called upon to do something. So, even if you are practicing meditation, or you are trying to imbibe divine qualities in your life, or to undergo behavioral transformation, whatever, there is a sense of responsibility. And the first sense of responsibility is towards the self, towards our conscience. We cannot be responsible to any person at all, including God, if we are not responsible to our conscience, first of all. So, the first thing is, why should I be responsible? I just gave you only one of the reasons, that in order to attain success, in order to accomplish something, you must have efficiency, you must be in a state of alert, you must have stamina, and for all these reasons, these come up only when there is a sense of responsibility, when there is some seriousness to it. But there are other factors, other reasons why I should be responsible. Because every action is not only momentary. I have done an action. Don't think it is finished. It is over. Every action leaves a trace behind it. Every action is habit forming. It gives you a habit. So if you don't think that your action will lead you to a habit, you are not understanding the responsibility of your action. Your action is not only for this moment. This action is like a seed which you are sowing for the future. So do it with responsibility. Apply your mind to it. What you want to do, what you want to achieve, how you are to do, its methodology, its technique, its goal, the way it is to be done, why it is to be done. All these are included in this responsibility. So, if I remember that every action is like a seed, they say as you sow, so shall you reap. So, I am sowing a seed which will grow into a crop, and the result or the repercussions, the ripple effect of these actions is going to be enormous for quite a long time, then I understand how enormous is this action. Then I become responsible. So if on the other hand I think action is just for this moment and after that it will not be leaving any effect, then I may not be as much serious to it. So always have this point in your mind that action is habit forming. It is leaving a trace on your psyche, on your mind. After it has gone, there is something still left behind which you have to carry with you all the time, wherever you go, whatever you do. You can't get rid of it. It will be there. Unless and until again you do some effort to get rid of it. Positive or negative, it is going to affect you, your state of mind. It alters our state of mind. Every action has, is not only habit forming, but it affects our state of consciousness, stage of consciousness. Happiness or sadness, our moods, the quantum of happiness, the degree of happiness. So let us consider how important our actions. Then we can say, just as the investigative agencies of the government, the intelligence agencies, the police agencies, they try to trace out a culprit, someone who has committed the crime, by trying to find out its fingerprints, for example. Wherever we touch, we leave fingerprints. They may not be visible to our eyes, but I place my hand here, I touch it here, I place it here. Anybody who knows this science and art, he can pick up these fingerprints and say, this is me, your fingerprint, because everyone's fingerprints are different. Even of the twins, the fingerprints are not the same. So, my actions are leaving fingerprints, not only on my psyche, but in the world. Wherever I walk, my feet are leaving some footprints. They say, footprints on the sands of time. So that when others come, they see here another person has gone before me. Why? Because there are the footprints. Someone has left. They have been trying to trace the snowman in the Himalayas. They find that there are some footprints. They have not yet been able to trace any such person. But the footprints are there. So that gives them the faith that the snowman is there hiding somewhere. We have not been able yet to find. But the footprints show that there is some such being whose footprints these are. The footprints of a camel are different from the footprints of an elephant. Those of a donkey, of a horse. But these are very different from all what we have known as yet. So there must be a snowman, they say. Similarly, every one of us is leaving some footprints. If you are going a wrong way, there may be others who will follow that way. And you are responsible. You are misguiding them. Perhaps you are going away from your goal. Not only you are responsible to yourself, but to the coming generations, to those who follow, those who come later in respect of time. Seeing your footprints, they may be misguided. You see. And who will be responsible? And if your footprints you are leaving on the correct path, some others may also find the goal. They may also reach their destination. Their hopes may be fulfilled. So, it depends upon you, what you do. So always think that your actions are like the footprints, or they are the fingerprints which you are leaving on the sands of time for others to see and follow, and that you must not misguide. It is your moral responsibility, something which your conscience would say that you must do rightly, correctly. Then your actions, because they are related to some other living beings, human beings, animals, birds, others, who have life, who have sensibility, sensitivity, a sense of feeling, of being, who are aware, who have consciousness. So your actions are affecting them. Either they are giving wounds to them, leaving some scars on them, some blots, blemishes on them, or they are soothing their mind, comforting their mind, giving them some hope. giving them some feeling of relief, some feeling of joy. Either you are creating disappointment in the minds of others, or you are strengthening their will. Don't think your actions are going waste, they are not leading to any effect on the minds of others. With whomsoever you react, or you act, you are impinging something on their consciousness. Beware. You are influencing them in a way, consciously, subconsciously or unconsciously. They are being influenced by you. And not only that also for this moment, but for a long time. Their mind is getting some impression from you. So if you think, if you speak very harshly, if you just even show some gestures in a way that other persons feel that you are hurting them, their emotions, then in a way you are causing them wounds on their mind. Or you may be speaking some such words so that you are giving a healing touch to their wounds, which are already their wounds. So you must be aware that your actions are influencing others. Therefore, do it with a responsibility, whether you are causing them wounds or you are healing them. Whether you are giving them worries and making them feeling tired, or you are refreshing them, giving them energy. Either your actions are leading to some conflict, or they are leading to conflict resolution, to cooperation. So you must beware whether you are causing some kind of an unnecessary turmoil in the society, an upheaval in the society, a conflict, a disunity in the society, or you are creating some kind of a noble thing, a good, a creative object, something which is of use, of meaning, of purpose to others. Then as I was saying, your every action, either it is pricking your conscience, your own conscience. Your conscience says, don't do this, don't be angry, don't be angry, don't be angry, don't be angry. You see, you hate someone and the idea is you want to shout, speak out, because this man has not been right to me, he has been behaving very roughly with me. So you have a sense of disappointment with this person and you want to come out. Today you want to say something in very plain and simple words, but in very strong terms. So your eyes, your face becomes, you see, like that, and you want to say something. So then what happens? Your conscience says, don't do that. If this man has done something wrong, why you do it? Two wrongs do not make a right. If he has been rough, so you also become rough. It is the old policy, tooth for a tooth, eye for an eye, that if somebody hits you with a brick, you throw a stone at him. It's not the way, you see. If you want to extinguish the fire, fire cannot be extinguished by adding something to fire, fuel to fire, but putting something which lowers its degree. So the conscience is telling you, don't do this. But you violate your conscience. You go against it. You rebel against it. So it pricks you. Didn't I say you should not do? Now see the result. See the repercussions. Because later on the results come before us. Now this man does not speak to me. Or if he speaks to others about me, that I am not a good man. And so on and so forth. And I have to bear the consequences. So my conscience tells me, didn't I ask you to stop? At that time you didn't listen to me. So I feel guilty conscience. And then I stand on prestige. I don't tell this man, I am sorry, I have been rough to you, please forgive me. But on the other hand I say, if I just tell him that I am sorry, this man becomes arrogant. I don't know that I am arrogant, but I think this man will become arrogant. You see. So either I am pricking my conscience, going against my conscience, in a way, my every action is either harming, injuring my conscience, it is spoiling my conscience, because afterwards a person becomes a hardcore criminal, as they say. Hardcore criminal. I do not know whether we all have a core, but and a criminal has a hard core. Where is the core? I don't know. But this is how they say. You see, in newspapers when they say this man was a hardcore criminal, you see. Because your sensibilities you lose, your sensitivities you lose. If a person commits murder, first of all his conscience asks him not to do it. Second time it becomes feeble, his conscience becomes weak. Then it goes on becoming weak and weak. And ultimately he rationalizes. He thinks that the world is so bad, he must commit murders, he must kill all, because they are all fit for being killed. He tries to justify. So, my own conscience I am losing. If I lose my conscience, they say if the salt loses its savor, then where shall it be salted with? You see. If the salt is no more saltish, then how you are going to make things saltish? You see. So if I lose my conscience, the whole thing is gone. I am what my conscience is. So if this conscience is gone, then I am no more. You see, I am a non-entity sort of thing. So every action of mine is either going against my conscience or it is going in alignment, in conformity with my conscience. It is becoming supportive to my conscience. So let me beware, be responsible what I am going to do. And as I was saying, all my actions are becoming a sign, a kind of a code. Like they say, we have a genetic code. The color of my eyes, the color of my skin, the way my face, my nose, my ears, my throat, my neck, the shape, the physical form, it is determined by my genetic code, they say. This is how it is. My future behavior, my actions in the future life will be according to some code. And what is that code? My present actions are making that code. My future behavior will be determined by what I do today. Because as I said earlier, my actions are habit forming. Not only habit forming in this life, but for my future life also they will be like my psychological genes, you can say. They will be working the keys, the codes, the matrices for my future actions. Let me know. So, life after life, reincarnation after reincarnation, I will be acting according to what I am doing today. So, I must act with a sense of responsibility, with a sense of accountability. And Baba has been saying in many murlis that transformation begins to take place only when the realization dawns. The first thing is the realization. Yes, what I have been doing was not correct. It has landed me in this difficulty. When I realize this, then only I begin to change. Now, those persons who don't change, it is because they don't realize. They think what they are doing is correct. It's all right. When I realize that this thing is not good, it is causing me sorrow, my suffering, my sadness. It is giving me peacelessness. Then only I give up that thing and begin to become a good person. So realization comes before transformation. As long as there is not deep realization, there are degrees of realization. The deeper the realization, the quicker the transformation. The rapid the transformation. So realization is the first. And this is realization. The first thing I must realize is that I am accountable for my actions. Even God cannot save me. He can guide me for future. But what I did, He will say, it is your act. I can't. You have to suffer. There is no other escape. If any hall is on fire, you see, sometimes people go to a theater, to a cinema hall. Recently in USA, in one of the biggest buildings, there was fire. But wherever they suspect there may be fire sometimes, they have an exit, emergency exit, from which you must rush out to save yourself. But in this case, there is no exit. Your actions bound you and they do not leave any exit. You have to suffer. whether it be Brahma Baba, or it be Saraswati, or it may be the highest yogi, it may be you, it may be me, I am responsible for my actions. I have to reap the fruit thereof. No one can lead me to any escape. If I want to escape, if I want to be liberated from my actions, then the only way is that I do the positive actions. I do yoga. It is the only way. Yoga is the only way. But this in itself is an action. Just as a nail can be driven out by means of a nail, an action can similarly be rectified only by an action. If you really want to be absolved of some negative action, then you have to practice meditation, which is another kind of mental action. Action must be reformed by action. There is no other way. So, I must realize the responsibility. Shiv Baba says, now Brahma Baba had, you see, bad throat. Sometimes when he would be speaking, he would begin to cough. He said, Shiv Baba, I am your, you see, instrument, your medium, and this throat, now I surrender to you. So, it does not belong to me as I think. Baba said, but this is your karmic account. You see, you have to suffer for your throat, not Baba. Shiv Baba has not to suffer for Brahma Baba's action, you see. And me has not to suffer for anyone else's action. As you sow, so shall you reap. You will reap your actions. So, who is responsible for my actions? I myself. If therefore I have that realization that I am responsible for my actions, then I, from that very moment, I begin to do good actions. Otherwise not. Then there is another responsibility. We took this body. We came into this world. This world has given us so much. We have the air to breathe, the water, the other facilities, comforts of life, for our sustenance, the society, our relatives, our parents, our friends, our neighbors. You see, our country has given us so much. The world has given us so much, in fact. So, your responsibility toward the world is that when you leave this world, after all, when you have taken so much benefit from it, you should make it little better when you leave it. When you leave it, don't make it worse, you see. Because you have derived so much from it, at least make some contribution to it. So that you owe something, you have a sense, if you feel really something, there is a responsibility. Now they say, they give the example, I'm an old man. An old man was sowing a mango nut. Very old man, maybe 90 years. In the farm, he was just sowing a mango nut. Now, a child was passing that way. He said, Uncle, what are you doing? He said, my dear child, I am sowing this mango nut. Can't you see? He said, but I wonder why you are doing. Because this tree will take quite some time to grow and give the mangoes. And by that time, you would have perhaps gone. So why you do this all labor? He said, children, my grandparents had done it and I take the mangoes. Now when I do it, children like you and your children will have it, you see. They did it for me and I do it for you and for your children, you see. So when you get benefit from all these persons, is it not your responsibility to make some contribution, to leave something for them? We are consuming all the non-renewable material in the world, you know. We are spoiling all the environment, doing all the nasty things, spoiling the whole world as a matter of fact. What are we doing? It is because we are not feeling any responsibility, either to the environment, or to our neighbors, or to the world, or to the other human beings, you see. It is lack of sense of responsibility, concern for the feeling of others, lack of accountability. So we must leave behind us something more than we have taken from it. If we cannot do that, then at least we should make as much contribution as much we have taken. This is at least fair, you know. We must do. Now when I say we have responsibility towards our parents, toward our Laukik family, towards our own physical sustenance. Baba says, responsible children will take care of their health properly. It's a means of service. Because when your health is good, you are able to practice meditation better. You are able to do service better. So you have to consider, see, it is an attitude. That you have a sense of responsibility is an attitude to everything in your life. Whatever you do, whatever job is assigned to you, if you have that, then you would do everything with that kind of an outlook, that kind of an attitude. But there are some overriding factors. What do I mean by this? Now, I have some responsibility for my Laukik parents, for my Laukik family, for my body, and so on. But there are certain things which are more important than this. Take the case of a mother. Now, there is fire, you see, a building is on fire. Now, the child lies in the building. The mother is standing outside. At that time, the mother does not care for her own body because she has love for the child. She just rushes into the building to pick up the child and take her out. All people say, don't go in, don't go in. You see, there is fire raging and you will die. She says, no, but my child is there. The baby is there. I have to go and pick up the baby. At that time, she thinks her responsibility, her first responsibility, of course, it is responsibility to save her own life. Life is dear to everyone. But a greater responsibility, she thinks, is towards her baby. She is a mother. And as a mother, she has to perform a duty towards the baby. So that means in terms of priority, there are certain things which are having a higher rating than others. Now, similarly, a nation comes before we come. But before the nation, before the country, the world comes. Because humankind is the bigger family. My family is, my Laukik family is my family, no doubt. But there is a bigger family. I have not to be narrow-minded, not just to be selfish. This is another kind of selfishness, that I am selfish only to my this small family of 4 or 5 or 6 members. I owe some responsibility to them. I have some accountability towards them. As a family person, I must do my duty towards them. But then I have some duty towards the whole world as a family. If there is something which I am doing just to please my other small family members and doing against the wider interests of the whole mankind, that is wrong. Now, people preparing nuclear weapons, they say it is for the security of their country. Now, where are they dumping that nuclear waste? And what will happen if the nuclear war starts? What will happen to the whole world? They forget about it. If on the other hand we keep in mind the wider interests of the whole society, of the whole mankind, then it gives us a better accountability, better sense of responsibility. So responsibility towards my own self, responsibility towards my Laukik limited worldly family, they come next only to the accountability or to the responsibility to the mankind as a whole, to the world as a whole. And then I can discharge my responsibility also according to my own state, my own efficiency, my own power, my own energy. Because there are some limitations to my capacity to discharge my responsibility. So if I am perfect, if I am higher in my state of mind, I have more energy, I have more strong willpower, I have better qualities, then I can discharge my responsibility better towards the world, towards the family, towards myself. So that means my greater responsibility is first of all to make myself a better instrument. Unless or until I am a better instrument, I can't discharge my responsibility properly towards anyone. Those persons who are having some negative tendencies, destructive habits, bad habits, who are spoiled people, How can they discharge their responsibilities properly? Only those persons who are persons of good character, good actions, good personality, and who offer love, have kindness, have compassion, and who are good people, good friends, they only can discharge responsibility. So, the conclusion is that my first responsibility is to march towards my own perfection, my own excellence, my own divine qualities, my own positivity, my own creative intelligence. The better as an individual, the more good qualities I have, the better responsibility I can discharge. And then, I have some responsibility towards the divine family and to God as my father also, my parent also. As I was saying, I have my responsibility towards my Laukik parents, my Laukik family. But at the same time, I have my responsibilities towards my divine family, the spiritual family. And towards Shiv Baba or God as my mother and father, as my parents. Now, how can I discharge this responsibility? Now, I will be spending some time on this in particular, because this topic is very comprehensive. It could be discussed in various aspects, Laukik responsibilities and others also. But because of constraint of time, limitation of time, I would be discussing how I can be a responsible person in this divine family. So far, this is concerned. Now, I think there are certain tips, certain hints, which I should keep in mind to guide myself in discharging my responsibility toward this divine family. One is, Baba says, giving is taking. Giving is taking. Don't have expectations. On the other hand, think of giving rather than taking. Don't say, this person does not love me. You give your love to that person. So you should believe in giving rather than taking. If you are expecting and not giving, you don't want to give. On the other hand, you want people to give you. This may create problems. Now, this factor is useful not only for discharging our responsibility toward the spiritual family, but other family also. But in this case in particular, keep this principle in mind. Baba says, consider giving as taking. Why? Giving is giving. How can it be taking? There are two dictionary words, giving. When I give something to someone, it is no longer with me. So how is it taking? Because as I said, every action is like a seed you are sowing. So when you sow a seed, naturally a crop will come. So then you will be taking so much, many times more. If you think that if you are giving, say, kindness, love to somebody, and there is no response, you become impatient. You say, I have been helping this man on such and such occasion, number of times I helped him, and so on, but he does not respond to me, to my love, to my cooperation, and all my positive qualities. So I become impatient. I say, this is not a good man. But I should wait. After sowing the seed, you wait for some time. Then only the crop grows. And each crop takes separate time. And different lands also have different quantum of fertility. It may take some time according to the weather conditions or whatever. If I just observe patience, you will find that giving will ultimately be taking. And a day will come when this person will say, here is a man. He was kind to me, he was compassionate to me, he loved me, and he cooperated with me, and for a long time I hated him. I did not respond, but this man never ceased to be. Now I love him so much that I am prepared to give up my very life for this person. You will find that he becomes a faithful, a loyal, and a kind person to a very high degree, provided you wait for some time. So Baba says, even otherwise also, you are the children of God who gives, who does not expect, who does not take. So if you really think that you are children of God, it is not something theoretically, not something only to be kept in our belief. It is to be put into practical life. If God is the one who gives, then we as his children also must have generosity. We must be philanthropists. Let us go on giving. That should be the trend of our mind. Even as a good quality of our mind, we have to build up this good quality of giving. So, giving is having, or giving is taking. Keep this hint. The second is, always be in position, not in opposition. Occupy your position. What is your position? That I am a point of light and a point of might. I am a child of God. I am pure and peaceful in my original self. Baba says, don't leave this position. Then all the opposition will stop. The opposition comes only when you give up your position. See? Why you give up your position? Someone says you are a bad man. So you immediately begin to feel bad. So then that man is proved that you are a bad man. Because you started feeling bad. Begin to hate that man. If on the other hand, he may have his own opinion about you. But if you thus just stabilize yourself in this, I am pure and peaceful in my original nature. You see. That is what Baba has told me. Adi or Anadi. From the very beginning of my drama, my part has been very divine. I belong to that divine family, to the family of God. If I just keep in my position, the opposition will go. And never you yourself should form an opposition. Never make up, your mind to oppose someone. You see. And you will never do it, in fact, if you are in your own position. If you are in the position that you are a child of God, you will be helping others, cooperating with others, be compassionate towards others, be kind towards others, be loving towards others. You won't be opposing. So, Baba says, don't leave your position and don't do opposition. This is the second in your divine family. Then the other is to have a sense of belongingness. You belong to this. I belong to this spiritual family. Never give up this feeling. Even in our Laukic family, there may be some dispute, some kind of a controversy. But there is always a sense of feeling that we belong to this country, to that feeling, to that Laukic family and so on. But that was based on body consciousness. Now this is based on spiritual consciousness. That being a yogi, being the one who is now in this new family, in a spiritual family, I belong to this family. So, if there is anything, we have to correct it among ourselves, not to shout about it. Because it's our family matter, we have to settle it among ourselves. If there is something wrong, I am a part of it. If a part of my body is not good, then I take care of it. See? So, that is my responsibility. Instead of shouting, mentioning and doing this and the other things, negative things, I think that I belong to this. I am a part of this. So I set it right in a very nice way. So to have, the third hint is to have a sense of belongingness. That will give you a mind, a kind of a security, a kind of a comfort. You will all feel that there is someone to whom you belong. And it is essential. I have never seen a person who does not have the feeling that he belongs to something. He may think wrongly, you see, on the basis of body consciousness. But this feeling of belongingness is very essential to our life. I belong to Shiv Baba. Shiv Baba belongs to me. And therefore I belong to this family. And then Baba says, in the progress of others, you should think your own progress. So that will liberate you from jealousy, from rivalry, from hatred. Sometimes what happens in the divine family is, somebody is having more chance for service, somebody having more respect, somebody because of certain reasons, we feel is progressing, being given some other good facilities. We are perhaps being deprived of it. That is the feeling. Let us have good wishes. Baba says, this Brahman life, this new spiritual culture is based on this. Good wishes. Good wishes. Good wishes. Never think ill of anyone. And you must think that in the progress of others is in my own progress. Don't feel jealous about anyone. If we feel jealous about anyone, then it will lead me to my retrogression rather than my progression. Because by being jealous, I will have hatred, I will have disappointment, I will have negative thinking. Now I will be going down and down. Even as a strategy, it is better, you know, to think, oh, this man, I wish him all the well, all the best. God's blessings on you. If you progress, I am happy with you. And if, even if you are not progressing, even if this is your outlook, your attitude, you will find you feel happy. See? Because if this man is progressing, if you really feel that you are happy, this happiness will develop so many qualities and it will invoke Shiv Baba's blessings on you. Because you are making sacrifice. You are having a spirit where you are interested in the progress of others. This is great. This is really the sign of great persons. That they want others to make progress, others to advance, others to go before them. That is the real generosity. That is the real greatness. So in this, there will be progress. That is why Baba says, when you allow others, enable others, facilitate others to have progress, therein lies your own progress. And the moment you begin to think in terms of jealousy, rivalry, hatred, the moment your downfall begins. You will see persons who have these kinds of thoughts. You could see them 5 years before, but after 5 years you feel they finished. Why? Because negative thoughts have begun to enter them. Like the water begins to enter the ship, gradually the ship sinks. So this is the negative thought finding a way to enter my mind. I allow it to enter, thinking I am justified, there is no justice, no fair play, people are depriving me, they don't take care of me, so on and so forth. Without noticing, this is the water entering into the ship of my life. I am getting drowned. I will be nowhere. I will have my own role. I will have my own luck. Let me depend upon my own karma. If I do good karma, no one can deprive me of my success. Tell me, because if karma is something which, the effect of which cannot be lost, see, the law of karma is inviolable. Every karma has an effect. If I do good karma, who on earth can deprive me of the result of it? Tell me. Even the mightiest cannot deprive me of my due if I really deserve, because I have done some good action. You give me the example of a person who has done good action and has for all times been deprived of that fruit of the action. So why should I be jealous about somebody? Why should I think negative of someone? Let him have the reward of his own actions. I will have the reward of my own actions. I should, instead of complaining, the next hint I am giving, which Baba has been giving in Murlis, don't complain, be complete. Don't complain, be complete. This person is like that, it is complaining. Yes, this person is like that. They say the pot calls the kettle black. That's what I do. The pot calls the kettle black. I say this man is bad, but what about me? Have I become completely good? There is so much bad in me also. I don't look to that, I look only to this. Already I have so much negativity. Baba says, see no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. Again I begin to see evil in others. Instead of eliminating the evil from my life, again I am finding, you see, the black points in others. Again negativity is trying to find an entrance into my life. You see. So Baba says, don't complain, be complete. When you are complete, the whole world will bow unto you. When you become an angel, they will say, oh, I saw light. You see, this person has a good aura. When I sit near him, I feel peace. I love this man because he is a noble soul. They will say like that. But if nobody is saying like that, don't complain that these people don't recognize you. You have so many merits and they don't recognize you. You can do so much service and they don't know your talents. You see. If the sun rises in the sky and if the moon is the full blue moon, everyone will see it. Except of course who? The blindest of the blind, you see, to which you have no other answer. But people will see. At least they will feel. So, let us depend upon our own actions. And these are some of the things which Baba says that you must keep in mind, which will guide you in the discharging your responsibility towards your family. But I find that there are certain things which we forget. When the time comes to keep them in the other day I was in Hyderabad, there was a conference there. And one of the former ministers of that state, he was also invited to speak at the conference, as the guest speaker. And he was addressing the audience. He said that, it is very well known, but he repeated it. He said, they say we can't change the events. We must change the attitudes. Attitudes, changing of attitudes, having proper attitudes lies within our powers. But there are certain events which we can't prevent. They take place. So he was suggesting that we should change the attitudes. Now, how should we change the attitudes? This part of the topic he did not touch. It's true that we should change the attitudes. But how to change the attitudes? He left at that. Then came the turn of Sister Gulzar, Dadi Gulzar. She had to speak. She said the minister has said that we should change the attitudes. It is well said. But how to change the attitudes? Now, she spoke in Hindi. She said that attitude in Hindi is known as vritti. In Hindi, the attitude is known as vritti. She said vritti can be changed by smriti. Attitudes can be changed by consciousness, awareness, remembrance. If you remember Shiv Baba, if you remember the good qualities of Shiv Baba, then your attitudes change. There is no other way of changing your attitudes. When you think that you as a soul were originally pure and peaceful, then your attitudes change. When you think you are a child of God, your attitude begins to change. If you think your ancestors were monkeys and apes, and they were aggressive, so you are also expected to be aggressive, then you will begin to behave like monkeys and apes, you know. Therefore, they say, if you want peace, you have to be prepared for war. You see. If you want peace, you have to be prepared for war. That is how they say. But what do we say? Even if people are going to do war, you show them peace. You see. Our is this response. Why? Because peace is our nature. Om Shanti, we say. Peaceful, be peaceful. So our answer to these situations is peace. Because we have now been given this consciousness, this awareness, smriti, this remembrance of our true original nature, of our real identity. So smriti, attitude. And Baba says this knowledge makes you like a wrestler. Every one of us is like a boxer. Like a wrestler. Wrestler or boxer who is having a wrestling match or a boxing game with Maya. You have to win victory over these Ravanic forces, these devilish forces. Sex, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, etc. You have to win a victory over them. And therefore, each one of you is a boxer, is a wrestler. Now, Baba says that like a wrestler is given some hints how he should win, or a boxer who knows, is given that training, you know, by the coach, how to fight. Similarly, Baba says an advocate. Now, there is a person who has been charged with the murder of someone. Now, he will be given the capital punishment. He will be hanged if it is proved that this man has killed 5 persons. So the punishment is death. Now the advocate, which is pleading his case, that he is innocent, he did not commit the murder, he is giving the points. He says, "My Lord, on that day on which you say this man committed the murder, he was not here in this city. How could he commit the murder? Look, he was in that hospital in another town under treatment. This is his prescription. And his name is registered in there. and so on and so forth. He gives all the arguments to save the life of this man. These are called the legal points, the legal arguments. Now if he forgets to give some very crucial, very important arguments, very important legal points, this man will be hanged. He will lose his life. His life is now hanging by a slender thread from the neck of this pleader. If this pleader pleads his case well, this man may finally be given the go sign. If on the other hand, he forgets some point at the time when he must give, then this man will be hanged. Now if he has not been able to remember that point at the right moment, and when he goes back home, after the case has been presented to the judge, I should have mentioned this point. That was very important. You see, under such and such rule, such and such criminal was already forgiven by the judge. This I should have quoted at that time. Now he is thinking of all this thing, only it is an afterthought. Neither the judge is sitting there, nor the court is there. He is sitting with his wife, taking his meals. And just at the dining table, he is thinking of these points, which he should have remembered when he was in the court. So, similarly, we know certain things, that we have to conquer this form of Maya, or our this sanskar, by this point of knowledge. But when that situation comes, we forget that point. The problem is, yes, smriti, that remembrance changes our attitudes. But the remembrance is gone. So how to remember the remembrance, you see. How to have that remembrance? The problem is this. We come back to square number one. It is because you have a gun. And the gun is with a license. You have it because you are living in an area where you feel insecure. Someone may come and attack you, and therefore you have a gun to shoot at that man. But somebody comes on that day, and where did you put your gun? You see, you don't remember whether it was in that almira, or it there, or there. Now this man is going to come and shoot you before you can find your gun. So what is your gun for, if you don't remember? You see, the first thing is you must have your weapon at the time when you require it. Otherwise, if your weapon is lying there, not being used when the moment has come, you lose your life. If you don't shoot this man is going to shoot you. So your gun will lie wherever it is. It's no use. So Maya will take a casualty, will kill you, if you are not able to kill Maya. And all those points which Baba has given, Baba says they are like arrows of truth. Just to shoot those arrows at Maya. You must shoot these arrows at Maya. These are the arrows of truth. They say the truth is like arrows, which kills your enemy, which is ignorance, darkness, the evil, the negativity. But where are your arrows? If you get exhausted of arrows, or forget your arrows, or you are not a good marksman, you are gone. You see, you will be hanged, as I said. So, why don't we remember when we should remember? What happens to us? Now, if you just think, one of the reasons is perhaps that we don't have deep, full, lasting faith. Why? In one of the Murlis, Baba said, there is a saying, Nishche Atma Vijayati. One who has a faith is victorious. This is a statement of Baba. One who has faith, they say faith can move mountains. One who has faith, deep faith, full faith, he will certainly be victorious. Baba has given this formula, like in mathematics you have 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. So Baba says if you have full faith, you will be victorious. What Baba says cannot be wrong. Now this is the statement, this is the formula, this is the mathematical, logical, scientific truth. Now, If I am not victorious, if I don't win a victory over Maya, apply this Baba's formula. That means I am not 100% faith. I don't have 100% faith. Baba says, in your actions, do you get 100% success? If you don't get 100% success, then it means you don't have 100% faith. If you have 100% faith, then you will have 100% success. This is the sign. They say, where there is smoke, there is fire. Now someone is standing here. He sees smoke coming up there. He can't see the fire. He can see only the smoke. But from the smoke, he can infer there must be fire. Without seeing the fire, he can infer. He can arrive at this inference. See, because the smoke is the sign that there must be fire. There is a saying, wherever there is smoke, there is fire. Okay. So if there is success, there is faith. Why? Because faith gives you strong willpower. Faith makes you remember. You do things with dedication, with full earnestness, with full energy. Why Vietnam won the war against the USA, the mightiest power on earth, military power, that small Vietnam? They had the confidence, the strong willpower, we will win. If you have the wits, if you have the guts and the strong will that you will win, no one can defeat you. No one can defeat you. Half the battle is over. If you have this 100% faith that you will win a victory. And Baba says, you are my victorious child. But sometimes we feel, I can't be victorious. It may be about others. Because I know myself better than anyone else does. I have so much of negativity in me. My life has been very bad. I did so many bad actions, you know. I cannot be victorious. Of course, I will make little bit progress, you see. I become little bit good by Baba's teachings. But that I become, completely divinized and win complete victory over Maya, that is perhaps not for me. So there is no complete faith. Shiv Baba is saying, you are more wiser than Shiv Baba. You see, I did not know even about myself who I am. It was Shiv Baba who told me that I am a point of light. Before that, I was thinking I am only this bundle of bones and flesh. You see, considering myself only a kit bag of bones and flesh. It was only Shiv Baba who told me that this is a kit, but you are a point of light, you are a diamond inside. So, I should believe him. God's word cannot be untrue. Why? God is truth. They say God is truth. If God is truth, how can he speak the untruth? I am sitting in the assembly and he is saying, you are my victorious children. I am blessed. Because I am in that assembly. I read that Murli. I listen to that Murli. And Baba said it, and God is truth. His words cannot be false. Now the only thing is, I must have faith. If I say, there were so many others, might be because Baba said about Dadis and others. Not perhaps for me, you see. So who can make me victorious? If I am going to let myself fall, nobody can help me, you see. The thing is, I have to do it. So if I have the complete faith, Baba said it, and I am going to be victorious. No one can check me. No one can be an obstacle in my way. I must reach my goal, my destination. Why? Baba said it. Baba knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows all the 3 points. I may not know, you see. And he has said, I will catch hold of Baba. Baba, why did you say that I will be victorious? Didn't you say? Now I am here. I am the worst sinner. You see, there is no sinner worse than I am. But since you have said I can be victorious, now Baba, you must not go back from your words. You see. And for me, I will have full faith in you. I will die for you. You see. My only action should be that I should have full faith. He says, you are not to do anything. You have to have your full faith in me. Children, I will take you on my this. on my shoulders. I take you to Paramdham, to the soul world. Leave it to me. Don't worry. It's my responsibility. I love you. You are my children. See, I really love you. Don't you believe? If Baba loves you, if any person hates you, why you mind? Because Baba loves you. You see, you should be happy. If God loves you, what else you want? You see, tell me, is there anything which still you want? Baba says, children, I love you. Daily you say, Baap Dada ko namaste at the end. Pyare pyare ba meethe sikilade Baap Dada ko pyare bachon ki namaste. You see, why you say? Out of love. And Baba loves you. You see, people's love can be fake, you know. In India, there is a story, actually it comes from the Arabic stories, Layla and Majnu, you know. They were two lovers, the lover and the beloved, Layla and Majnu, you know, a story. Layla was a lady and Majnu a man, very thin, very lean, as if he is going to die tomorrow, very weak in physical form. But Layla loved Majnu and Majnu loved Layla. They couldn't see anything else except each other. They were so much fascinated, Layla and Majnu. You see. And Majnu was sitting on a hillock, you see. And Layla would send a milk, a glass of milk to Majnu to drink out of love. Gave it to somebody to give it to Majnu. Where is Majnu? He said, who is Majnu? Where is Majnu? He is sitting on that hillock, go and give that glass of milk to him. There was another hillock in between. There was another man sitting. Thinking that he is Majnu, he would give the glass of milk to him. You see. He was not Majnu, but he was taking milk. You see. And that man wrongly was giving the milk to him. But Majnu was dying without milk. Now one day, Layla thought that Majnu is not sending any message to him. What happened? I send milk, he does not even thank me. He does not even say, I love you. There is no message from him. There is something wrong perhaps, you know. My mind says, it can't be like that. So he asked the man, whom you give the milk? He said to the man who sits on the hillock, you say, you told me, I therefore give it to him. You see. Now, how to find out who is the real Majnu and who is the real Layla? It was a fake love. Now, she gave the message, all right, today take this glass of milk to Majnu, give it to him, and tell him that now Layla wants a glass full of your blood, the doctor says, otherwise she will die. She wants a glass from your blood, a tumbler full of blood. So he told the Majnu, Layla is dying, the doctor advised him to have the blood. And your blood is fit for her, and she is asking you to give a glass of blood. He said, oh, if that is the case, that is the real Majnu. You see. The one who would give you the blood is that Majnu. I am the Majnu who will take milk, you know. You see. So, there are certain people who love you because they get something from you. There are other Majnu who are prepared to give something for you. You see. So he went to the other person there who was sitting on the other hillock. Now he said, I have come from Layla. She gave this glass of milk and she said she wants in turn, you see, a glass of your blood. He said, oh yes, why not? The whole of my body she can take. Now he is the real Majnu, you know, who is prepared. That is the real love. So what is real love? Baba says, my everything is for you. My purity, my peace, my knowledge, my bliss, my kingdom of heaven. Children, everything for you. And you say, but Baba, this is for me. You see. Now, you want Baba's things for you. And your things also for you. You see. How clever you are. You don't say, Baba, my everything is for you. You see. You want to become that Majnu who would have a glass of milk, you see, and not the one who would give that glass of blood. That is not real love. That is fake love. But Baba says, children, I love you. And he really loves. And see what sacrifice he makes, how much he gives, how golden, precious treasures he has been giving for all these years. And he gives you the promise, I will take you across. And still if we don't have faith, that is why we forget. That is the real reason why we forget. If my every cell of my body is charged with this, like it is charged with the electric impulses, that I love Baba, Baba loves me, you see, then I am awakened. I must succeed. They say nothing succeeds like success. I will certainly succeed, provided I have the full faith. Now why I say we forget, take the case, in every point of knowledge, we will have faith. Take the case of drama. Drama repeats. Now this is one point of knowledge which is given to us to defeat Maya. Because I told you these are the points which are there for winning a victory over Maya. Now this is one of them. That world drama repeats, and it repeats identically. Now suppose I meet an accident. Please try to bless me so that I don't meet any accident. But I am just giving you an example. Suppose I meet an accident. The leg gets fractured. Something very harmful happens. You know what happens at that time? People say, Jagdish bhai, it was drama. Forget about it. It was drama. I say, what drama? Why you always cry of drama? You see, I lose my leg and you say it is drama. And you say it will repeat again after 5,000 years. I don't want this kind of drama. Keep this knowledge with you. I don't like this knowledge. Now before that, I was myself explaining it to others. If I were given the task of giving 1 week's course to a group, I will explain to them this world is like a wheel. Drama repeats. At that time I remember. But when it happens with me, at that time I become against this point. You know why? Not only I forget, but I also begin to say, I don't want this knowledge. What is this knowledge? You see, that those who are bad will always be bad, those who are sick, they will always be sick. Kalpa after kalpa, cycle after cycle, I will have bad luck, I can't become, you see, like dadis and so on. What is this drama? I begin to shout. You see. So where is my 100% faith? Where is my 100% faith? 100% faith means under any circumstances, in all situations, at all points of time, come what may, my faith cannot be changed, cannot be moved. That is the depth of the faith, full faith, 100% faith. 100% faith does not mean faith in the morning and no faith in the night. Or faith on Mondays, Tuesdays and Thursdays and no faith on Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays. It doesn't mean that. Faith means faith on all the days of the week, all the days of the month, all the months of the year and all through my life under all circumstances, come what may happen. If that is what faith I have, I will not forget those words which will enable me to win a victory. So this is one reason I forget, because of the weakness of my faith. The second is, why I forget? My sanskara. My sanskara. Sometimes what happens is, I am told that I should not be angry. I have the faith that anger is a bad thing. But when somebody teases me so much, troubles me so much, gives me so much botheration, he is something, a problem to me, a recurring problem, you know. Then I begin to hate, and after that I begin to shout, and then I become angry. Why? Because of my sanskara. Life after life, I have been angry. That has become my habit, my sanskara. At that time I forget. In that emotional flood, I forget. But quickly I remember, I should not have. So, sometimes I forget because of the great force of my sanskara. That powerful flood of my sanskara. That it carries me along with it. I can't stand. I can't put my foot on the ground. It carries me with it. But by practice of meditation, this negativity loses its grip on my mind. It becomes more and more feeble. Then sanskara comes. I am not carried. I can put a brake. You see. By practice of meditation, of application of knowledge to situations, the anger comes and I say, no, I won't allow you to. I won't speak in angry terms. There is anger in the mind, but I am not behaving angrily. At least this much control I get. Then the sanskara becomes so feeble that it ceases ultimately to come into my mind, flood my thoughts. So sanskara is there. It gives me the forgetfulness of the point at the proper time. But remember, if I am soul conscious, that is why Baba says soul consciousness. Daily it comes in the soul murlis, and we say the same thing is being repeated. It is necessary to be repeated because I have not yet become it. The more and more I remember Baba telling me that I become soul conscious, then that soul consciousness takes strong roots in me. And that sanskara becomes weak, that negative sanskara. And then I become without any anger. It will not come. I will be completely calm and quiet. So the second is sanskara, which gives me forgetfulness. The third is the weakness of my willpower. My willpower. Already I have a defeatist mentality. Somebody tells me, don't be angry. I say, I will try. I will try. When you say, I will try, it means half you will allow the anger to come, half you will not allow to come. It means already you are ready to allow the anger to come. You see. So, the strong willpower, yes, I will not allow it to enter, come what may. If you make a watchman, a guardman outside, you give him the salary. He is appointed purposely to give you security. You give a gun to him. And you ask him to be on guard on it and not to sleep while on the duty. If he says, I will try, you see, what you will say? He is not a good watchman, good guardsman. What does it mean by saying that he will try? So you will get rid of him because he is not the proper watchman. Therefore, our willpower should be strong. Baba says, the more resoluteness of will, the more will you be victorious. These are the things. And sometimes it may so happen that in spite of your best efforts, you may still forget. You may still forget. That is what Baba says is bhavi. Bhavi means it is destiny. It is destiny. It is drama. Unpreventable part of drama. Now suppose I try to wake up in time, I try to take proper diet, I try to take proper rest. Earlier said that we have responsibility towards our own perfection, our own excellence. And the main way of achieving that is our practice of meditation or of yoga. So that part, how we can fulfill, I won't be able to take up because of the limitation of time. I was supposed to finish at 12. So the rest I have shared with you. Thank you so much. Om Shanti.